All right, everyone, good morning. I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the August 3rd, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include preliminary plat approvals. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. Now, the hearing process has certain rules, but I still try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a procedure we're going to use. For the item on today's agenda, staff will present its report and make whatever recommendations that they wish to make. Then the applicant or the applicant's representative is given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The applicant does have the burden of proof to show compliance with all the applicable rules and regulations. If somebody from the public came to testify, I will then give you that opportunity to do so. And if there is any testimony in opposition to the project, I will give the applicant an opportunity to submit whatever rebuttal testimony that they would wish to make. Because the applicant has the burden of proof, the applicant does have the last opportunity to present testimony and evidence. I would remind any member of the public here today that this is not a question and answer period. This is simply a time for you to provide testimony and evidence as to how the project does or does not comply with the applicable rules and regulations. Now, if you are going to testify, I'm going to have you unmute yourself, and then I'll swear you in as a witness and ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the application and not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. If you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, we can make those arrangements. I have the option following this hearing to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. Except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding request for reconsideration and a request to reopen the hearing, my decision on this matter will be final and conclusive unless it is appealed. Appeals are by means of what's called a land use petition action, and they have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if the appeal isn't timely filed, the appeal would be barred. Now, I reviewed the item on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in the property or the proposal to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider this item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for this item, along with all the attachments in the staff report, which included all of the application materials, expert witness reports, agency comments, there's public comments, there's SEPA documents, there's noticing documents, other than receiving and reviewing the entire planning staff file on this matter, I've not had any communication regarding the item that is on today's agenda. So with those representations, if you have any objection to me serving as the hearing examiner for this item, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the item on today's agenda. As indicated, this is a preliminary plat approval, application for a preliminary plat approval. This is given application number P 2021-595. This is an application to subdivide approximately 12.6 acres into 12 single-family residential lots and other improvements associated with the proposed subdivision. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. Now, for the record, I will admit into the record at this time by this reference, the staff report, all the application materials, all the agency comments, all the public comments, all the SEPA documents, all the expert witness reports, all the noticing documents, photographs, I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Mr. White for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Andy. So plat 21-595, also known as Crescent Shores. So this was an application to subdivide two properties located at 1085 and 1095 Second Street in Chelan Falls. That total approximately 12.6 acres with 7.21 acres above the ordinary high water and two 12 single family residential lots in the rural waterfront zoning district. So access for this development will be from a private internal roadway off of Second Street. the Chelan County did determine that the county actually owns the right-of-way across the railroad. Therefore, solving one of the issues that was previously questioned about accessing the property. Domestic water for this plat will be supplied by the Chelan County PUD. Sanitation will be provided through individual private septic systems. DNS was issued on July 22nd of 2022. There are a couple of items that I would like to address to like highlight the conditions of approval. So this plat was previously approved back in 2008, but it since has expired. As a result, many regulations and requirements have since changed. Therefore, the conditions of approval are more onerous. So conditions I would like to highlight, pursuant to the comment letters from DAP and the Kobol tribes, prehistoric archaeological site is located on the project area. Therefore, the applicant shall obtain the necessary permit from DAP prior to any earthwork commencing. In addition, a new cultural study is required as well. Pursuant to the comment letter from DFW, the applicant will need to perform a vegetation survey for shrub steppe habitat and east side steppe habitat to determine if these habitats exist. If needed, new habitat management mitigation plan will need to be submitted at the time of blue line review. Pursuant to the comment letter from the Department of Ecology, the applicant will need to test the soil for lead and arsenic. If contamination concentrations are above the MTCA cleanup levels, the applicant will need to coordinate with ecology on a model remedy that would clean up the site to meet MTCA state standards. The site evaluation submitted by the applicant is from 2008, and state standards for lot sizes utilizing septic systems has changed since then. I did look at the WAC, and it appears that all the lot sizes do meet the required standards, but community development is requiring that the applicant submit an updated site evaluation to the health district demonstrating that the proposed lot size do meet the requirements of the WAC. Then as staff has reviewed the application materials, the agency comments for consistency with applicable codes and regulations, and as condition recommends approval of plat 21595.
All right, and these are, all those conditions are contained within the revised staff report. Is that correct, Mr. White?
That is correct.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to prepare to proceed?
Yeah, thank you. Dave Dormeyer with Erlinson. How are you?
I'm fine today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay.
Well, we'll have you go through the procedure you're familiar with. I'll have you state your name and spell your last for me again, and then I'll put you under oath real quick.
Yes, you bet. Dave Dormeyer with D-O-R-M-I-E-R with Erlinson Engineering, representing the owners of the Crescent Shores plat.
All right. I'll have you raise your right hand for me, please. And sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And you've indicated you're here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the applicants and property owner, correct?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. What would you like to tell me?
You know, a few of the comments that we do have are on this we'd like to pursue. On item condition 7, we do not believe this is shrub step. If I did send over in an email, of the cultivated land, this was cattle fields along that area, as long as I can. I think the historical record shows. It And so I did send you over a Google map just this morning in an email, so you will have that as record, I do believe. And I sent that to the city. Just replied to Alex's last email. So, yeah, so this is not, there's no sagebrush on the site. There is kind of in one area, but that whole area is part of the wetland buffer. It won't be disturbed anyway, so we're not making any disruption in that area. But most of the land is not. So I would just like to waive that requirement. And there is, as part of that, one of the conditions in all that, because there is no wildlife habitat that is existing in that shrub step. So that is, so for priority habitat to be conditioned, it needs to show a species that's, you know, endangered or critical or susceptible to getting on the critical endangered species list. So none of those species exist in that habitat. So I think this requirement probably should go away. The other one that I do have is that on item eight, just that was not stated in here, we did submit a wetlands report from Grady and Associates. So that's in the record. I do believe that they are taking care of all the conditions in item eight, and we do have some buffer averaging going on in the, as part of that plan. So I would just like to say that we are following Grady's recommendations to follow Chelan County Code for the wetland buffer boundary and buffer averaging that we're doing that on that portion of the project. On item 11, on item 11.2, there's a, we did submit because it is on the GIS map showing a geological hazard. We did submit a geological hazard report as required by Chelan County Code. My only comment is they just kind of make a general statement that a geohaz assessment, which is a code requirement, does not serve as a geotechnical report, which we all do know that. A further soil evaluation may be necessary during the development phase. My only recommendation of that is that would only occur at a building permit and really has no jurisdiction in this document for a building permit. So I'd like to have 11.2 removed. On item 14, again, we go back to the original land use of the property. Here there, you know, ecology did go through and, you know, map old orchards. So that's why I went, you know, the other idea of going back to this, my understanding the historical use of this land was that it was for cattle, used for animals. It did not have orchards. So I sent you an old photo of the orchard lands. You can see orchard on both sides, but it does not exist on this property. So I'd like just 14 to go away because ecology developed all that by algorithms, their mapping, you know, of old orchards based on old historics. And I think it just got kind of looped into the two sides, you know, two ends beside it that were orchard.
So your testimony is that this property has never been used as an orchard?
I couldn't say never. My historic, as far as I know, of previous owners and the land that it was cattle. But I, yep.
All right, thank you.
And that picture that I show kind of leaves that out, right? Kind of as my background. We are going to do the, we do have tower engineering working on that site evaluation, just we're also busy, he couldn't get to it. That was a late comment to redo the evaluation we had done previously. So tower is working on that one. I had, where did the acceptability go? There was also a requirement, and I'm trying to remember this in code. I've got a little bit of history here on a, oh, there we go, sorry. On item 9. The county is asking for an aquifer vulnerability evaluation. So my only comment on this one, and I've got to go through code a little bit more and what we had done and maybe go back to the county. I had assisted the county on a reevaluation of their environmental code, you know, about 2 or 3 years ago. And I brought up to them as part of this that homeowners, right? The only thing they're putting into the ground, we have 2 ACART, which is ACART available data. One is the septic sewer system design that is done by the state under state permitting with the health department meets ACART. And then our stormwater design done by the Eastern Washington Stormwater Manual meets ACART. So anything that we're doing here is already meeting the best available standards that we would be producing groundwater into the soil for this site. An industrial site, I could see that you're doing something different with oils or chemicals that would be unknown. So I'm just asking that item 9 be removed, because we had a long discussion with that as part of that group. And I was trying to go back through some of my emails this morning to find that discussion and see how we had rewritten that a couple of years ago. And that I would just ask that there be an understanding that stormwater be for the Eastern Washington Stormwater Manual to meet ACART, and septic systems be designed to Douglas Chelan County Health Department regulations to meet ACART, and that the aquifer is protected and an aquifer vulnerability evaluation would not be required. And that is that's all I have for you today.
All of the other proposed conditions of approval are acceptable to the applicant?
Yes. Yeah. I did not go. I know we did the one I wasn't really prepared to talk to you about was DAHP on the historical preservation. We did do a long time ago, there was a DARPA report. It's kind of before my history. I don't really remember some of the data that came in. I don't think anything was found. I'm not sure why we have these conditions, but I do respect that condition. I know we all want to protect everything, so I'm okay maybe, you know, going through and relooking and reevaluating that. But I can't imagine there's any new permitting that needs to go forward. So I'm okay with item 2, just to relook at it, reevaluate it. I don't expect anything to come up. Or I would, what do we call those reports? Site investigation, what are they?
Inadvertent discovery plan?
Yeah, inadvertent discovery plan. What I would like to do actually with item 2 is just make it an inadvertent discovery plan that we have in place with the contractor and the site as we go to do our work. That if anything is discovered, that we have a plan to deal with it, since we had already gone through the archaeological report and nothing was found. So that seems to be the new standard today, is inadvertent discovery plans.
Yeah, I'll take that into consideration. I think my recollection, and I'm not going to dig back through the documents, but that this site is actually, there is a historic site if not on the property, adjacent to the property.
Okay.
It's not just like, well, maybe something's here. They're saying, oh, yeah, there is something here. And yeah. So anyway, I'll look at the request. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Did any member of the public come to testify today? If so, just unmute yourself.
Yeah, my name is Levi High, and I came to a little bit if I could.
All right, sir. I will have you state your name, and all I see is L. High, and I don't. So
I'm trying to get the video started, but having a hard time here.
Your first name is Levi.
It is Levi. Yes, L E V I.
And then H E Y E N.
Yes, H-E-Y-E-N.
Okay. Well, we can still get started while you're working on your video, but can you raise your right hand for me?
Yes, sir.
And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And sir, what would you like to tell me?
Well, I submitted some paperwork early on to Mr. White, and I just had some concerns. The main concern, and unfortunately, all of my notes and things here, but my main concern was the driveway as it comes across the rail tracks. You know, I got some title reports run. I spoke with a lawyer. We looked at tons of maps and just trying to figure out the right of way. And my dad bought the property, and my parents bought the property in the early 70s. It was 15 acres at the time, I believe. And so been there almost, I suppose, and they've built a shop. And on this line, it pushes into the front yard, takes out a thing of lilacs, which is not a big concern, but it really extends into the yard beyond what the existing northern neighbor's driveway exists. And I believe in the paperwork it said maybe possibly emergency vehicle turnabout or something along those lines, but couldn't find an ingress egress anywhere as far as allowing it to impede that far into kind of the front yard and get into the front door of the home. The only map that we did find that they were using was from 1906, and it's a Schland Falls orchard. And what I've been listening to here, it wasn't actually orchard. I do know when my dad bought it, there was an acre or so of grape vineyards there, but not obviously not the entire property. But I guess my concern is that the home was forced to move when the dam came in the late 50s, and it was forced to move closer to, I guess, would be Second Street or what used to be Washington Street there before it was vacated by the developers. And I guess my understanding is the county never loses a right-of-way, but it looked like they lost some right-of-way when they vacated the Washington Street to make room for the houses for the water line. But my main concern, I guess, is the use of a map from 1906 for Schland Falls Orchards before the home was forced to be moved because of the dams and the water rising. So that's my main concern there. And then another concern, just I guess a curiosity, I know it's not a time to ask questions, but I've checked with the county assessors. We've had a couple notices put down by the property. And just as a heads up, sorry, I didn't inform you earlier. My family still lives there. My mom still lives in the home that would be just north of the property. I guess obviously I have a little stake in this, but the next question I have, you know, is regarding we've had a couple postings and the property is up for foreclosure. It's behind on its property taxes. I just called yesterday to update, and it is the property's scheduled to be up for auction in December because it's behind on its property taxes. And so I'm not, obviously that's going to need to be addressed as well. Other than that, it's just concerns, but nothing, I guess, that might pertain at this point today. So I guess that is all I have at this point.
All right. And I have reviewed your email comment that was sent in, and that is part of the record. Just wanted to let you know that too, Mr. Hyatt.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there any other member of the public that would like to testify today?
Yes, I would. Glenn Shirley.
All right, sir. I'll have you state your name and an address for me.
Glenn Sterley, Sterley. My property is 951 River Rock Lane, which is just north of the Hyen property.
All right, thank you. Could you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
And sir, what would you like to tell me?
Well, I just a little bit concerned about that railroad crossing because the River Rock HOA has been paying the railroad company for 20 plus years an easement to use it, and it's in really rough shape. I'm asking the question, is the new developer going to improve that? It's about 16 feet wide, if I'm not mistaken, and there's six lots currently using it. Now we're going to add 12 I'm not fortunate enough to have the conditions of approval, and maybe it's addressed in that. I just wanted to bring that to an attention. And I know that Mr. White stated that it's owned by the PUD or it's a public crossing. So that's another issue that we have to address. Along with that is we pay an easement for the public water to cross underneath the railroad tracks to the railroad. It appears that according to what I heard today, that their water rights are going to probably tap into the same water line that we've been paying an easement for 20 plus years. Just like some clarity on that if we can, and maybe this isn't the time, but that's the two things that I kind of wanted to bring up. The railroad crossing itself, and is there a condition to improve it and widen it or not?
All right. When the developer has their chance for any rebuttal testimony, I'll have them address their understanding of that, and the county can also chip in at the end of this whole thing. And if you don't get the answers that you're looking for, then you should feel free to contact the county and ask those questions outside of this record. So just let you know that.
Okay. Marcy, did I miss anything?
My name is Ryan Axman. Marcy's head of.
Do you want to testify, sir?
No, we're kind of as the same group. And I concur with the comments that he made, and it was the same concerns that we have as well. Part of another couple members of the River Rock Homeowners Association.
Should we follow up with comments to Alex in an email on what we said?
Well, I don't know who's talking. And we kind of have to have a little bit of order here. So I didn't, because the last gentleman who spoke said he didn't want to testify, I didn't write down anything that he said. And so somebody's asking a question about, do you need to email comments that have been made already at the open record public hearing, and this hearing is being recorded. So personally, I don't see a need for any confirming email, but if that's what you were asking.
Sorry about the confusion. So Glenn Sturley, who testified, was just asking if we thought we had left anything out. And so my name is Ryan Axman, my wife, Marcy Axman. All three kind of represent River Rock Homeowners Association.
Do you want to be put under oath and provide testimony?
I think what Mr. Sturley did was just fine. I'd be happy to, but I think he covered it. So I think whatever he said was exactly what we wanted to know or comment on, put on record on. So we're good with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Was there any other member of the public here that wishes to provide any testimony? Okay, hearing none, is there anything further from staff? Is there any clarification you can provide Mr. Sturley for his questions, or would you rather do that off the record?
So a letter that was sent to the railroad, back on June 30th of 2022, and I believe our county attorney had sent it to the River Rock as well, but the county did make the determination that easement across the railroad that they've been using is actually indeed owned by the county, and so it would be the responsibility of the county for upkeep of that moving forward. And where that goes as far as their agreements with the railroad, I'm not sure. I think that's something that when I talk to our attorney, it's something that they're still fleshing out. So if they want to, they can feel free to email me and I can send them a copy of the letter if they do not have it as well, so they have that for their files. And then for as far as the applicant's comments on some of these requirements, these were requirements of the agencies that were put in place. And so a lot of them, the bolded text in my staff report, those would be staff, those would be plat notes that need to be placed on the plat. So, you know, as far as like the Fish and Wildlife Overlay District, our mapping and DFW mapping shows that there are fish and wildlife habitats in the area. So they need to put that on the plat map. The same with the wetland note, the same with the geohazard note. Those are all things that exist either on the property or nearby and do affect the property. And so as conditions of approval, these notes need to be placed on the map. It doesn't necessarily mean that the studies that they've prepared and submitted as part of this application are invalid or null and void at all, but it just says that for future owners of any land developed here will be aware that there might be future requirements as part of a building permit submittal. And you know, I think that we need to, these are standards that are placed on plats typically, and so I think they need to abide by the standards that are required of everyone else.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to go through, I saw Mr. Bruner turned on his camera, and then we'll end with you, Mr. Dormeyer, just to let you know that. Who's speaking?
I think they got muted. All right, you ready for me?
Yeah, and Mr. Bruner, what would you like to tell me?
Andrew Bruner with Schlang County Public Works. I just want to clarify that, yes, improvements to the railroad crossing will be required, widening and such, and also that, and Alex, I'm sorry, I don't know if you said that if you entered in the letter from the prosecuting attorney's office, and there is a paragraph in there regarding the payments of fees and such, that the railroad should not be charging fees or anything like that for use of that crossing. So I would recommend that Mr. Sturley and his group reach out to them about that. So like Alex said, we can provide a copy of that letter if they would like.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Bruner. Helpful information. All right, Mr. Dormeyer, anything further from the applicant?
Yeah, I just wanted to try to answer everybody's questions on this. So yes, we went through a very long, extensive study on the development of deeds for the right-of-way, and then also deeds for the railroad, and also the process of road development through the access of right-of-ways by the county, which then we supplied to the county, which then produced this letter out of the Chelan County attorney to the railroad company. So yes, I do recommend you do get that. And then also on the question of the 19, the Chelan Falls plat that was done around 1909. So the right-of-way for that, for Washington Avenue, which is now called Second, came down, crossed at this current crossing at kind of an odd little angle, and then actually went in front of Alex's parents' home down the frontage along the east side of the railroad, and then got down to, I think, Oregon Street, and then crossed back over. So that was Washington in 1909, and then the railroad came in after that. So there was a vacation of Washington Street there on the west side. That vacation only went from the only owners that wanted to participate in that vacation were our owners of Chelan Falls to down to Oregon Street. That portion of Washington Street was vacated. All that document is online of the vacation map that was produced by the Chelan County Surveyor at that time. The right-of-way of Washington Street still goes across the railroad and in front of Alex's parents' home. And in front of their property is the only portion that Washington, that right-of-way exists. So the road that we are designing to put in from the railroad crossing does go in the public right-of-way on Washington Street. And then we have we've been working on a new design, just kind of like what is it, the development to the north of us, which is we're trying to work out an easement with the railroad company to put our road, run it back in and run it back on the right-of-way. So we're going to be paying a fee for that. And my only comment to the owners of the development to the north of us, yes, we did get rid of the requirement for the crossing fee and the insurance fee for the crossing because it being a public right-of-way, but you probably still, just like we're working in negotiations, still have a fee because all of your road except 5 feet is on the is on the railroad right away. So as you go through your negotiation, it's only one portion of your fee. And we're trying to achieve the same thing. We can't in today's standards do what your project does, which is go, you make your turn on right away. We need a little more space. We can't feel like we can do that. On the railroad right away crossing, we are repaving it to 20 feet and we're putting in a new precast concrete railroad crossing. So that's going to be a great improvement for everybody in that neighborhood. So it's to everybody's benefit. We're only improving the widening of the asphalt on the, what direction would that be? That would be the southern side of that crossing just because of where right-of-way is and its oddity. So kind of made sure we were following all rules and regulations. On my comment to what Alex said, I think at the end, he kind of said something about the conditions on the plat map or the area, you know, things that needed to be covered on the plat as conditions. I really didn't have any comment on that standard verbiage going on the front of the plat map. So I have no discretion with that. And again, my comments were made previously that they are engineering a cart. Code issues that I do want to work through and stick, you know, and criteria of definitions and language and where in just, you know, people have jurisdiction and not jurisdiction. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. As I was going through and reviewing and Mr. White, I do not have the prosecutor's letter. So if you could forward that to me, I'll make it part of the record just so that it's there. But right. This is, got to be like the factual scenario here, Mr. Dormeyer, is probably something that should be on a surveyor's professional licensing examination. Going back so far and then with the river being dammed up and everything being moved up and...
I think I had three of my surveyors working with a land use attorney going through trying to weed through the process of what we had. So we've done a lot of work with Chelan County, the Public Works Director and the attorney and other attorneys to work through what the Chelan County attorney issued as a letter to the railroad.
All right, well, thank you very much for your presentation. And what I'm going to do at this point, I will admit that prosecutor's letter into the record by this reference, but I'm now going to close the record and I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. Appreciate the members of the public that came out today. I hope we're able to get some of your, if not all of your questions answered. And if not, then you should feel free to contact Mr. White, who may be able to direct you to someone who may be able to more fully answer any other concerns or questions that you might have. But again, thank you very much for coming out. There are no other items that are on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this August 3rd, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. Thank you all very much for coming. Have a great week. I'm glad the temperatures are cooling off just a bit. Take care.
You have a great week too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sterling. I appreciate that.
Take care.